Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm 100? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, over the next few minutes, would You be with us as we look into Your Word? Would You help us to just guide our hearts and our minds through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, so that we would not be robbed of the blessing of the Holy Spirit's guidance and teaching through Thy Word this morning? We pray that we might see Christ, that we might exalt the Lord in all things. And if there is one that does not know Christ as Savior, would be today be that day of salvation, for we pray it in Thy name. Amen. You may be seated. As you can tell by most of your headings, this is a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm for thanksgiving. How did thanksgiving begin in the United States of America? Maybe some of you might know. George Washington made a Thanksgiving proclamation when he was president in 1789. See if you can conceive of a president saying this today. A little bit long, but I'll make a stab at it. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as we have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. How far have we come? Wow. Nope. Well, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We're here about the Lord, and we want to look this morning at a psalm of thanksgiving. Elements, if you would please, this morning, elements of thankful worship. Boy, all you have to do is mention worship, and you can get a whole bunch of difference of opinions about what is worship and what should worship entail and involve and encompass and have and be part of it. But this morning I want us to look at Psalms 100, and I think there's some basis, some beginning elements of what is worship and what is thankful worship. So consider this, please. Elements of thankful worship. First of all, some prerequisites to thankful worship. Some prerequisites to thankful worship. What do you need to have? I should have a little bigger font, but I'll just repeat it a lot. First of all, A, an acclamation in worship. What do you need to have? An acclamation in worship. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Well, this, first of all, to shout joyfully to the Lord, it's a command. It's an imperative. It's an instruction to shout. You can't help but look at that first phrase and think of that song. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. That middle song that we sang, you know, was really upbeat. And next week, Kathy will do the interpretive dance to that. You couldn't see what I saw. She's, yeah, you know, you were really going. But shout to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Exalt His name. And we need to shout to make a joyful noise. You know, it's not the attitude of just coming to the Lord and you kind of wonder, can't make me sing. You know, when I had a hard time, there were up at the, you know, my pastor at the some of the churches, and, you know, they have the pastor sit up on the platform from time to time. And if you could only see what I could see. that's, you know, 24, what, we have about 40 minutes to wake the dead, you know. You know, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Listen, you have to come with that attitude in your heart to make a joyful noise. And it is. I mean, it's supposed to be loud. Shout to the Lord. It's an expression of exaltation of who He is. Shout joyfully to the Lord. But with caution, if you would please, because it says, shout joyfully to the what? To who? The Lord. It's to Him. It is unto Him. Now let me give illustration to the caution about direction and where you should make a joyful noise. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle. He camped beside Ebenezer, where the Philistines camped in Aphek. And the Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel. And when the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men in the battlefield. And as you would think, in verse 3, when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, well, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Does that sound like a good idea? Does it sound like a good idea? Okay. Let's take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that what? If you have the New American Standard, that it. You begin to see the problem? Let's get the rabbit's foot. Let's get the good luck charm. Let's bring that into the camp. It starts out to sound pretty good. I mean, because everywhere the ark went, there was what? I mean, blessing and victory. And I mean, part the waters. And, you know, you think, good idea. But that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh, and from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of Hosts, who sits above the cherubim, the two sons. There was Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, and they're going to get their due because they were not good boys. And verse 5, and it happened that as the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord came into the camp, that all Israel, what? Shouted with a great shout. This is the same kind of language. Shouted with a great shout so that the earth resounded. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. See it? All the earth resounded. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, well, what does the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. Philistines were afraid. Woe to us. Verse 8, woe to us. Who's going to deliver us? Verse 9, but then they said, well, take courage, Philistines. Verse 10, the Philistines fought. Israel was defeated. Every man fled. And the ark of God was taken, verse 11, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. What's my point? The point this morning is when we shout, it must be to the Lord. When we sing, it must be unto Him. We're here to exalt and praise His name. And as we filter our worship and our principles of worship and what we do, we must make sure that we're exalting the Lord in all we do. And just because we might ascribe something religious to what we do does not always necessarily make it right. And so shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Exalt His name. Lift Him up in this joyful noise. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Psalms 95 and verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord, and let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. To the rock of our salvation. Lift up a song unto the Lord. If you can't sing to the Lord, at least in your heart, I mean, I know you may not be able to carry a tune, you know. In my heart there rings a... Fair, you guys are good this morning. But they're all, there's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free. You know that one? A new song. For the believer, it's a new song when you come to Christ. If you don't have that new song in your heart, I realize life can get tough. I realize that we go through some deep waters sometimes. I understand that. But if you really don't have the new song, you need to take a look. What's going on? What's going on? A new song. A new song. The acclamation that we sing is to exalt the Lord and to lift His name in our worship. An acclamation of worship to the Lord. And then, if you would please, an attitude in worship. An application in worship. An application in worship. Look at what it says in verse 2. If you have the King James Version says serve, so it says that also in the New American Standard. But in your NIV, what does it say? What's the first word in verse 2? Worship. You know what it is in the Hebrew? Glad you asked, I'll tell you. It means to work. It means to labor. That's why you have serve in the King James or serve in the New American Standard. But it has that idea of work, of service. Now, then the New American, the NIV comes along and says, well, we're not really working. How can I communicate? We're really worshiping. So how do you take worship, service, work, and combine it into one concept or idea of what God's trying to communicate to us? It means that you can't come to church and just be like a sponge and say, I'm here to be entertained. That's not what happens with this word. Okay? You know? What would happen? You say, Johnny, go clean up your room. And he just sits there. What? Johnny! You better go clean up your room, right? It means that there's some action behind it. And so when you come to church, you've got to be prepared to enter into the worship with your heart, with energy and service to the Lord. Worship does not occur with God's people coming into church, occupying a space, fellowshipping with the back of someone's head, and then leaving. You know, it doesn't happen that way. You've got to prepare your heart. You've got to enter into the worship and exalt and lift up your Lord. It's something that you have to do in your exertion in your spiritual work to the Lord. And folks, how much you put into it is about how much you're going to get out. You have to enter into it. That word worship or serve is an action word which describes work. Maybe we ought to go away sweaty. No, I'm just kidding. To serve. To work. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. And then come before Him with joyful singing. So what about that third, acclamation in worship, application in worship? You got to apply yourself. You got to apply yourself. And then third, an attitude in worship. An attitude of worship. It means to come. Come. To come into His presence. To enter into. To enter into with purpose. You're coming before Him. As a body of believers with purpose as you enter into the worship service. Back when the Lord established the laws and began to instruct Israel about what they were and what they were to become. In Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. He instructed them. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live on the earth. And you think, wow, what are they? And he begins to instruct them. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods on the high mountains and on the hills under every green tree. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars, burn their ashram with fire, and you shall cut down the engraved images of their gods, and you shall obliterate their name from that place. You shall not act like this toward the Lord your God. Verse 5. But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes, to establish His name there for His dwelling, and there you shall come. Words of purpose, words of instruction, there you shall come. Seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes, to establish His name there for His dwelling, and there you shall come. So folks, if we're going to worship the Lord, we have to have an acclamation, a joyous sound, an application to enter into worship, an attitude of coming to seek Him in all that He has done. And then, if you would please, Not only that, but this one, you almost will think, well, it's necessary, but you almost have to do a double take when you look at the psalm, because what's going on? Well, he says there's an acclamation in worship. We saw that. There is an application in worship to serve or to worship. It's an action word. But then there is an attitude in worship as we come before his presence, entering into to worship in who he is. But this next one, verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is what? God. When you're entering into worship, you can't just take lightly to the fact and the recognition of who he is. You almost think, know himself that the Lord is Lord. You almost think it's a little bit redundant. But it's an emphasis upon who you're acknowledging in your worship. Know that he is God. Why? It is he who has what? He made us. You know, there was the dirt. What did it look like? You know, those things that it can do on computers, and you can morph from one image to another, and you can see it, you know, you can see the shape, you know, take place, and suddenly it, you know, go from one thing to another. Can you imagine if you had a video camera, and here was dirt, and then here was Adam? What did that look like? I don't know. Except God did it. And did it pretty fast. You know? Did it pretty fast. He spoke, breathed into him the breath of life. There was Adam. There he was. Adam, the Creator. The Creator. He made us. He is the one who has made us. To seek him and to acknowledge him and who he is, to discern and recognize that he is God. He is God. He's the Creator. That means he has ownership, that he has a divine plan of purpose, that he's sovereign, and everything that I think that I ought to take credit for is actually really his doing. It's really his doing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us because what? And not we ourselves. You think you're so cool? I don't think so. We didn't do it. God did. God did. That's why when you recognize the Lord himself as God, you have to deal with the fact that he is the Creator. He spoke and there was light. He spoke and stars in the sky. Spoke and there were the plants. He spoke and there was man. All those things God spoke and made the animals. And to think of Adam, well, that dog's not very helpful. That dinosaur sure isn't very helpful. Neither is that bird. You know, that lion's not very helpful either. Lord, I'm going to bring you something special. In Genesis, the word is brought. Brought. And he brought to the man this special gift. Wow. Wow. He's the Creator. He made us. And not we ourselves. And we are his what? We're his people. We're his people. John chapter 1 and verse 12. What does it say? That when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you all the rights and the authority, and you become adopted into his family, and he makes you his child. John chapter 1. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he the right, the power, the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. we are His children. We are His people. A child of the King. A child of the King. We belong to Him. Not only that, when you recognize Himself that He is God, you got to recognize that He's the Creator, that you didn't make yourself. He did. That we are His people and the what? Sheep of His pasture. He gives us the provision. He knows where to feed us. He gives us the direction that we need. And so when you come in with that concept of worship, of what you're doing, you want to come in with the proper attitude. You want to come in with the proper acclamation. You want to come in with applying yourself to worship. You want to recognize that the Lord is God, the Creator. And He desires, by the way, that we sing unto His name. The book of Hebrews says that the lips are our sacrifice of praise. And they go up into the ears of God. And He hears. And He desires that we worship Him in that way. And as we enter in and do all those things, what begins to happen? We have to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Now, as you deal with all the mechanics of what goes on with that phrase, understand this, please, that the devil wants to destroy that right there in verse 4. You remember, if you have kids, or you remember when you had kids, why is it generally that Monday through Friday goes pretty good? I mean, yeah, you have your bumps along the road. But why is it sometimes Sunday is always seems to be a battleground? Am I making any sense? You've been there, done that? Coming to church. Would you just sit? If you don't behave back there, I'm going to stop this car. Right? You know? And then you get to church. How you doing? You know? No. From time to time, you know, things would happen at home, and then my wife and I would say, "What? You know, what's happening? Oh yeah, it's Wednesday prayer meeting. Oh yeah, it's vacation. Bible school's coming up." You know, evangelistic meetings or missionaries here or something. You can almost chart it. You know, there will be an argument and fight right about there. Something will happen. Somebody's button will be pushed and right about there will be an explosion. You know, it's like the weather. The devil wants to destroy that because you're supposed to come to worship with thanksgiving and gratitude. And if the devil can destroy that in your heart prior to coming, guess what? You can't do it. You can't do it. And he says, I'm destroying what you're trying to gather to do. See? To enter into his gates with thanksgiving. To enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise to give thanks to him and to bless his name. All that we have comes from him. Everything. And we are to exalt his name and to lift him up. And so we enter into his courts with praise and give thanks to his name. And bless his name. But what is thanksgiving? The giving of thanks, of returning back to him. It is a confession, an acknowledgement of who God is and what he has done and what he has given you. So enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. So as you advance in your worship, you do it with thanksgiving. As you progress in your worship, you do it with praise. Because look, you come to the beginning, you come into the church and you enter the glass. Well, we're not the Crystal Cathedral. We enter into the glass Doors, okay. It says gates in Psalms. And so we enter into the gates, and as you would go into the temple, you would then enter the what? The court. So we've got to be prepared to enter those gates, those glass doors with thanksgiving, and then come into the court here with praise as we advance and progress to a time of worship and giving thanks to him and to bless his name. Because you know what? I want to adore him. For the Lord is what? He's good. He's good. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For he is good. He is good. God is good. But then, what do I want to affirm when I'm here? He's good. He is kind. His loving kindness. It's everlasting. It doesn't stop. He loves us with an everlasting love. Just say, I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what. And he is faithful to all generations. Usually, when people are worshiping a God, they're trying to earn what they're trying to earn, or when they're trying to worship a God, small g, people are working really hard at trying to earn that respect of that God. They don't want that God to go away. They're trying to do what it takes so that they don't get the disrespect, or they're afraid their small God might, you know, frown upon what they do. Are you with me so far? I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang in there. It's not that way with God. There is nothing that you could do that God says, I'm going to love you less now. And there's nothing that you do that God said, you know what? I'm going to love you more because of what you did. He just loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He is faithful. That's the God that we serve. That's why when you go to him in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We're afraid if we confess sin, we kind of, you know, want to, yeah. You know, we're afraid that God's going to come out and really give it to us. Now, there is a place for chastisement. Don't think that you can sin and get away with it. However, who took your punishment? Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He did the work. He declared, it is finished. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He took your punishment upon the cross of Calvary. So don't cower under the seat and be reluctant in your confession of sin, because the experience of confession and forgiveness far outweighs any type of concept that you might think that I've, you know, I'm going to the principal's office and I'm going to be suspended and, you know. Okay. His loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness to all generations. That's the God that we have. That's the God that we serve. Of who he is and what he has done for us. Words cannot express all those things. Psalm 107, 21 and 22. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. And let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. We live in a great country. Why am I here today is only by the grace of God and His doing. And as one individual spoke in speaking to the prosperity of the land, this land in comparison to other worlds, when you look at the affluence of this nation, we were born into Disneyland by God's grace and by His goodness. We have so much to be thankful for. And as believers, above all else, to be thankful for our salvation, to be thankful for all that He has done for us, we can't help this morning but sing praise to His name, to thank Him for all that He has done for us. Would that be your attitude of your heart this morning as you exit this place, to just have the attitude of praise and thanksgiving for all that you have? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Would you do that? This special time of year of returning thanks to Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed.